9 past 1, Chad Hartman back here with Dave Harrigan on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's Twins Ticket Tuesday before the show is done. Your opportunity to see the Twins. Twins win last night 8-3. Okay outing for Pablo. Not obviously as dreadful as he was early in the year, not as good as he was for about a month.
I think three runs, two earned over six. It's all right.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
That's take it.
Only there was one unearned run. So that's fair. But by the way, there's no debate right now. The playoffs started tomorrow. 0.0 debate. Bailey Ober's game was
well, certainly with Joe Ryan out, there is.
Well, his ERA is 1.76 for 2 months.
I think Bailey starts game one, game two, bullpen
Pablo.
Game.
Yeah, it still would be Pablo. Don't call in now. But it's a four-pack of tickets, Friday, August 23rd, Cardinals in town. You'll hear
fireworks night that night, too. You love it. You're in.
I might just drive down for the fireworks. You know I love them. Let's get to a political roundup here. Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He's not going to change in any way. And as I've said before, Dave, he doesn't think he should change. He looks at his life. By the way, you don't have to agree with it. I don't agree with some of it either. But I'm just saying from Trump's perspective, he says, I'm stinking rich. Hot babes like me. You know that matters to him. Right? Is there any doubt?
No, it matters to him. And that's a great soundbite for the Open.
Yeah. He's won 47 golf championships.
Not the senior.
Yeah.
The regular championship.
Yeah. He's been president of the United States. He has more loyalty than any politician I could think of, and he might be president again. So he sits there and says, when all these folks are saying the last 3-4 days, Donald, bring discipline back in. And it's clearly organized in some way. When Kevin McCarthy's saying it, when Bill O'Reilly's saying it, when other Republican officials are saying, if Trump will stay on message, we're going to be in a better place. He's not changing. He is going to be him where he riffs, where he occasionally bumps into the truth. The technical issues last night with Elon. And then when I listen to it, it's just Trump playing the hits. It is Trump playing the hits, and Elon Musk, who obviously is a brilliant individual, but an incredibly uncomfortable individual. So it's Elon stumbling, stuttering his way through it, and then Donald just telling us everything that he's told us before. Can we have one iota proof, by the way, that all these countries are emptying their prison? Or also, last night, Donald's telling us that those folks in various countries who are unemployed and not productive. I think Donald said last night they were ordered to come here to America. Can we just see one person prove that? And no doubt, immigration is not a winning issue for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I agree. Still is not. And when the VP is telling us how tough she was as the California Attorney General, well, oh, goody. How about when you were VP and when you had a large role in that? It was lousy. So if he wants to make the case on the border and immigration, he should. But when he's just going to this stuff, which there's no basis of truth, he gets involved in the crowd size again. He's obsessed with size. That's why when Rubio, and I guess it would have been early 16, was talking about his small hands with the inference to small penis,
yes,
you know, that it just drove him nuts. There's nothing small about me. Think about it. Was his first day as president when Sean Spicer's in there with that uncomfortable suit that didn't match, and they're screaming about the crowd size. The first day when this businessman, what are you looking for, by the way?
Car keys.
Uh-oh. Here's an aside. Adam Carter's looking for his car keys. What do you not want to lose most? Oh, they were in your pocket? In his bag. Is that your workout bag?
Are we clanging and banging?
Going for a hike? Where are you going?
Lebanon Hills.
God knows we know what some other politicians have done in Lebanon Hills. Hey, Jen, go check them out at Lebanon Hills. Let's make sure nothing's going on. But, like, now he's suggesting that Harris's crowds, that people really aren't there. Just the photographs are dubbed in by AI. Who is he appealing to with this utter stupidity?
Himself.
Himself.
His ego.
His ego. And even
Mike Lindell.
Even, I was going to say, even, I guess it's just the hardest of hardcores. I got to believe there's still about 80% of his supporters are saying, Mr. President, stop. Who cares? She's got some momentum now. There's a long, long way to go. But this idea of he's going to just stay on message, perfect example is the convention speech when the Republicans had an excellent convention. They really did. Biden is flailing. Everybody comes back together. There were a lot of good speeches. And he's going to speak from the heart for the first time about someone who tried to murder him right in front of our eyes.
Inches, centimeters away.
Centimeters from him being dead right now. And so we're going to hear from him for the first time. And I thought it was compelling. But then guess what? The crowd was so silent because they were listening. That drove him nuts. So he's got to go back to the hits. And a speech, which on the prompter was like 45 minutes. And it was about 10, 15 minutes on the assassination attempt and then looking forward. He can't look forward. He doesn't. Anything he talks about going forward is about what he did in the past. And I get that if you're a former president and you're running again, you are going to tout some of the things you did. But most of the time you want to hear about, okay, what does this mean for 25, 26, and 27? And he can't stop with his grievances. And this is still a pick'em race. Anybody thinks like this is over and Harris has a large lead, what are you smoking? She's going to get more of a bump next week because they all get bumps out of a convention. But I'll say this for about the 10th time she's been in the race. She's hiding from the media. It's right out of Biden. And, you know, Trump had his Mar-a-Lago press conference last week. Just softballs from Elon last night, but he did go to the NABJ. He doesn't do it a lot, but compared to Kamala, it's not close. And as I said in a tweet, and I'll say here, sadly, it's working. And I say sadly not because I'm against Harris. She's going to have to show me, for me to vote for her, I got to figure out which politician she is right now. Because this is where they should go at her. Is she the person who, when she was attorney general, was a center-left person? Or is she the lefty she was when she ran in 2020 when she was an uber lefty? She just was. And now she's modifying positions. So I'm trying to figure out where she's at. That's where Trump should go at her on that. But they've been making public appearances at a much higher rate than Trump is. They're having some momentum. And they're not going to appear before the media, before the convention, I assume. But to me, and I do have bias in this because what we do for a living, I think it's beyond unacceptable that the vice president of the United States, who garnered as many votes as I did in the 2020 convention, 2020 race, that'd be zero, who garnered no votes in the 2024 race, and an extraordinarily rare circumstance, the president steps down because he wasn't capable of winning the race. Because, sadly, his intellectual struggles have caused enough of his voters to say, we're not voting for you. All these circumstances happen, and she's thrust in the race, and she hasn't answered a single bleeping question. I think that's awful. Their comeback would be, have you looked at the poll change since Harris came in for Biden? She's doing much better. I still think there should be something about, hey, I'm going to tell the public, here's who I really am. Here's how I'm different than Joe Biden. And not just on the stump, on the speeches, but actually answers some important, direct follow-up questions. What a crazy concept that is.
I think they're making the right move.
It's from strategy-wise, it's working.
Yeah.
It just bugs me.
If you are Kamala Harris, if you're the Democratic Party, there's no reason to right now. You are riding a wave of momentum that will continue through probably about the end of the month, at least, with the convention happening next week. And you know what? You can always just say there's plenty of time for it. Once we get to September after Labor Day, we've still got, what, 2 months until the election. We're planning on a debate, at least one, maybe two.
So let me ask you this.
There's plenty of times before Election Day that she will answer questions. That's what you say right now.
Okay. So convention starts Monday. That's the 19th. So then the Thursday she gives the speech. The ABC debate is in early September. Will she have a press conference before the ABC debate? I'm not convinced.
I would bet no.
What are we doing here? Shouldn't a potential president have to answer some questions, especially under these circumstances? I want you to come back and answer that part. And I want people to react to these two points. Are you only bugged that Harris isn't answering questions because you don't agree with her? Because then you should admit that Trump really didn't answer enough questions. And then when people say Donald Trump should stay disciplined, just point out that Harris and Walz are well left. Cite policies. Don't cite nonsense like Trump was contending in what the speech over the weekend that in our state here, Walz okayed kidnapping of kids from their parents. Or tampons were everywhere in boys' bathrooms. Just get out of here with this nonsense. But if you go at them as far left, Tim Walz, after the recent election with the trifecta, he is proudly far left. I don't even think he looks at that as a criticism. And don't tell me where he was as a congressman, because I agree he was a centrist. He's not that person anymore. And so this idea that Trump is going to stay disciplined, it's smart strategy, but he's not capable of it, and he doesn't want to do it. So react to those two things. I want to hear more from Dave on why he thinks this is right for Harris. And the data so far is showing he's 100% correct in what Dave's saying. What do you want to say? 651-461-9226. Again, text away. 651-461-9226. All right, let me get to one other item. Then I want you to expand again on Harris and why this is smart, because the data says yes. So potentially it's Iran hacked into the Trump campaign, found out some of the dirt on J.D. Vance, could find dirt on all of us. And it went to prominent media outlets, Politico, The Post, and The Times. And those outlets held off printing all the information. And, of course, the information is from Roger Stone, one of the shadiest characters of all time. The irony. Since Roger Stone was working directly with WikiLeaks in 2016 and was a part of getting Podesta's information leading to Hillary's emails. And so now the Trump folks are asking the media, please don't publicize that. When Stone is working with WikiLeaks and Donald stood up in 16, Russia, if you're listening, get those emails. I mean, that's some pretty good irony. It's the same guy. Stone was hacked. The guy was working with WikiLeaks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to these outlets saying, please don't publicize the information. And they didn't. But then last time, They were working with WikiLeaks, and Donald was calling for Russia to hack into the information. Help me out with that consistency.
I don't think I can.
What else you want to say about Harris and his path?
I'll say again, it's the right move. It's absolutely the right move. You can say there's still months to the election. You still have every opportunity to see VP Harris, Tim Walz, at every campaign stop if you'd like. And, you know, there's a question or two here and there from the press corps, obviously not a full press conference. But you have the ability to say, look, we have a or perhaps multiple debates coming up. There is plenty of time before Election Day. And at this point, I don't think Donald Trump should be doing interviews either, unless they're with Fox News or Elon Musk's conversation last night with the opening question being, wow, that whole assassination thing, you were brilliant.
Yeah.
You were amazing.
It's hard hitting.
Yeah, really good stuff. No, I don't think at this point going to anybody that's going to really press you hard with questions and possibly, you know, trip you up, make you look even the least bit bad. There's no reason to do that at this point if you're the candidate.
Among the texts coming in, would you admit that your mother corporation is doing nothing to get Kamala to commit to a number of news conferences answering many questions in media without pre-selecting journalists to call upon? Actually, none of the three-letter media is demanding any more out of Kamala than she's doing right now. It's really pathetic. Yeah, once again, I'll say this. We are not owned by CBS. We're owned by Odyssey. We have no ownership with CBS. But I watch journalist after journalist after journalist bring up that she has not answered questions. So the idea that prominent journalists haven't criticized Harris for answering questions is false. More text. So far, what Harris has been doing is working. Makes no sense tactically to change now. Time for media sessions when this wave is over. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah, it's working. I just don't agree with it. More text. And thank you so much for all the texts. Even if we agree, disagree, you disagree with my responses. I appreciate that you're participating and you're listening. I mean that with all sincerity. 651-461-9226. Chad, I know the policies both candidates know I vote for. I really don't need a press conference. Understand many voters like that format. I'm positive the Harris campaign will hold one after the convention. More text. Trump owes a lot of money to dozens of cities for unpaid 2020 campaign bills, including Minneapolis and Green Bay. I suspect he's not going anywhere lately because he will repossess his plane, and now he's using Epstein's plane. Can we get just the Epstein plane situation? So this is Minneapolis and Green Bay, they're not going to take his plane. He hasn't paid for 2016 either. He doesn't pay his bills. This is nothing new. If Kamala Harris right now was using one of Jeffrey Epstein's old planes, we've got three networks on in here, news networks, including Fox. Fox would have mentioned it 750 times.
Seems a little light.
Yeah. I don't care. It's an old plane, right? And Epstein is dead. But if the Democrats' candidate was using Epstein's old plane, Hannity, Megyn Kelly now, who used to be, I thought, a good down-the-road journalist, she decided, nah, this isn't going to work. I'm just buying all in, and it's probably working for her. All the outlets would be going crazy about it. And here's Donald, who clearly was buddies with Epstein, is using his old plane. More text. I would like to see Kamala Harris debate Donald Trump with Hugh Hewitt as the moderator. Can't always be on a left platform. Well, you tell me where Jake Tapper and Dana Bash were unfair to Donald Trump in the last debate. They were not. They asked pertinent, relevant questions. They didn't fact check him once. Hugh Hewitt is a very smart man. Proudly leans right. So if you want to have more, and Hewitt is more of an opinion maker than Tapper and Bash as hosts. But if you want to say, here's someone right of the center with someone left of center, and they both ask questions, fine. No problem. Chad, you really don't know that Kamala's far left. She should want to answer questions if she's really a moderate. You should know by now she is far left. Here's the thing. When she was the attorney general of the state of California, she was not. She was not. Initially, when she ran as the senator, she was not. She slowly started moving, and then when she ran in 2020. But if we're going to talk about changing positions, J.D. Vance compared Donald Trump to Hitler. And now he's his running mate. So if you want to call out Harris, and I'm saying I don't know where she stands, are you also okay with J.D. Vance and where he's moved?
That's apples and oranges, Jen.
Hitler. I call that out every time and say it's despicable when W was called that. Obama and Trump called it. J.D. Vance called his own running mate that. So be consistent then on the lack of consistency for some individuals. Speaking of consistency, I don't understand sentences like this and cases like this. They happen way too often. Let's discuss one of those. Let's also remind you, J.J. McCarthy, meniscus injury, surgery upcoming. Chip Scoggins on that story at 2:05. You might say, hey, good job. The McCarthy story happened and you scheduled Chip. Now we already had scheduled.
We planned it. We knew the story was coming yesterday. I mean, yeah, come on.
We knew ahead of time, apparently. So Chipper in about 30. Some of these sentences for drinking and driving, when there's a fatality involved, I just don't understand, Dave. Once a month, we'll see some story. Someone was drinking. They get behind the wheel. They put themselves in danger, but they put somebody else in danger, and something awful happens. And we've made a lot of progress with individuals, and there are a lot of us probably could look in the mirror and said, were we perfect every single time? But when something happens, too many times there is a sentence where we're all left with, how is this? If this is just isn't enough. So, Paul Walsh story from the Tribune. What do you think on the pronunciation here, Dave, of the individual? J-A-Z-D-Z-E-W-S-K-I. Jazz Dusky? Maybe that second Z is silent?
Yeah, I would go with that. Johnson, maybe?
Yeah.
Alternate spelling.
Cody Jazduski was sentenced yesterday in Anoka County District Court after pleading guilty to criminal vehicular homicide in connection with a crash that happened 13 months ago. His sentence of 364 days in jail with credit for 4 days served as his arrest includes 5 years supervised release and requires him to attend a sober group support once a week. Also has to submit to testing for chemical abuse. The crash killed Carrie Rivaro, who died at the scene. James Jr. Beller, also in Minneapolis, was hit and survived critical injuries. Hits two people on a Columbia Heights sidewalk, kills one. He's driving after 10:30, left the road, hit both of them. His preliminary breath test at the scene measured 0.131. So he's 1.5 times the legal limit for driving. So he gets just less than a year in jail. He's a 36-year-old. He killed a person and left another one with severe injuries. I don't understand. I do not understand how if you're 1.5 times over the limit and you get a year in jail. And Cody might be a very decent person who made a horrifying mistake. Because the mistake is indefensible. There's no accounting for it at all. The decision caused an individual to die and another with critical injuries. And who knows how many others could have been injured. So you're saying if I, after work, instead of grabbing Q and running various errands or whatever we have to do, I go downstairs and I drink excessively. And then I drive and I hit someone and I kill them. I should get 1 year in jail. That's it. That seems woefully low to me. Am I just playing to the crowd here? Or are you with me?
What should the sentence be if you just get pulled over and you're a .131? Well, why should it be any different is my question.
Yeah. The potential was already there.
Yes. It's you got lucky because you didn't hit somebody, or you got unlucky because this time you did. And in this case, obviously cost life.
In my view of justice, and I get you have to follow the law, okay? You just can't go from judge to judge and arbitrarily throw a dart. For me, this has got to be at least 5 years. You killed a person. Not intentionally. I'm not saying this.
Yeah, it's not murder.
It's not murder. But you are so derelict in this responsibility and not in control of your faculties that individuals are on a sidewalk and you kill one and severely injure another and you get 364 days. What's wrong here? We've made immense progress. Mothers against drunk driving. Stronger punishments at local level, state level, federal level. And we are immensely better in this area. And there have been people who've gotten away with stuff they shouldn't have. Have I been perfect every single time in my life? I probably have not. But I don't understand why. I mean, we see cases where individuals are arrested time after time after time.
Yeah.
And they still have their license.
That's indefensible.
Now, you kill someone. Doesn't matter the age. Who cares? They're gone. And you get a year? What do you think? What do you want to say about this? Am I going too far? Is a year enough the way you view it? Because I don't think so. And I think I emphasize way more of my looking at stories here in the state. But I see other examples across the country. And it leaves me confused why the punishment is not stronger. Why legislators haven't stepped in to make the laws stronger, harsher, more punitive in cases like this. What do you want to say? You want to call and react? You want to send a text? What would you like to do? 651-461-9226. Dave, remind folks the bumper theme today and the best way to track down a podcast of this show.
Yeah, the bumper theme is the Barack Obama summer playlist that came out yesterday, about 20 or 30 songs from old times and new stuff that he's been enjoying apparently this summer. If you want to podcast us, I'd recommend you check out the Odyssey app. You just go to WCCORadio.com. That'll work. How about Spotify? You'll find us there. Apple Podcasts, you bet. Chad Hartman Show.
Also on the Twitter machine, at Dave_Harrigan and at Chad Hartman Show. Back to this DUI case, another part I want to mention a DUI case where an individual was killed and another person severely injured. The conviction carries a presumptive 4-year prison sentence. The judge cited the individual's amenability for probation, his remorse, and his continued sobriety. Again, I think it should matter. I get, Dave. It should matter how the individual, in this case, Cody Jasduski, I hope I'm getting that right, does react. But going from 4 years to 1 year seems too much of a leap to me. And again, I'm not saying a judge, she or he, is allowed to look at the law and tear it up and say, I'm not paying attention to it. Too bad. I'm the sheriff. I don't care what the law say. No, you have to follow the law. But it just seems like the law, to me, should be much stronger in this case. What about the explanation from the judge why it was reduced?
Yeah, I get all that. And I'm trying to put myself in the feet of the family of the person that he hit and killed and what I would want. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. 1 year, yeah, seems a little light. 4? Does that make me feel better? I don't think it does. I think I'd, just as a citizen, I guess I'd feel much better if it was, let's say 2 years, a little bit of teeth, but then a really severe punishment once you're out. A probationary period, we're talking you can't drive for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're spotted driving behind the wheel, drunk or sober, you're back in the slammer for a while.
I think we always have to watch, though, if we judge what the victim wants or if the victim was killed, as in this case, the victim's family wants. I don't in any way ever want to discount the person who was aggrieved, who was killed, or their family. But we're all going to react to that all over the place.
Yes.
So that's why we have to stay true to the law. And at times you're happy with the law. Other times you feel like an adjustment should be made. And I'm willing, in this case, to make an adjustment. But from 4 down to 1 and the other part, just it's too low to me. And I just see it too much. Linda's construction time check. It's time for us to stop talking this hour. It's time for you to invest in GAF solar roofing and receive free installation labor. Some of these sentences for drinking and driving, when there's a fatality involved, I just don't understand, Dave. Once a month, we'll see some story. Someone was drinking. They get behind the wheel. They put themselves in danger, but they put somebody else in danger, and something awful happens. And we've made a lot of progress with individuals, and there are a lot of us probably could look in the mirror and said, were we perfect every single time? But when something happens, too many times there is a sentence where we're all left with, how is this? If this is just isn't enough. So, Paul Walsh story from the Tribune. What do you think on the pronunciation here, Dave, of the individual? JazDzewski. Jasduski? Maybe that second Z is silent?
Yeah, I would go with that. Johnson, maybe?
Yeah.
Alternate spelling.
Cody Jasduski was sentenced yesterday in Anoka County District Court after pleading guilty to criminal vehicular homicide in connection with a crash that happened 13 months ago. His sentence of 364 days in jail with credit for 4 days served as his arrest includes 5 years supervised release and requires him to attend a sober group support once a week. Also has to submit to testing for chemical abuse. The crash killed Carrie Rivaro, who died at the scene. James Jr. Beller, also Minneapolis, was hit and survived critical injuries. Hits two people on a Columbia Heights sidewalk, kills one. He's driving after 10:30, left the road, hit both of them. His preliminary breath test at the scene measured 0.131. So he's 1.5 times the legal limit for driving. So he gets just less than a year in jail. He's a 36-year-old. He killed a person and left another one with severe injuries. I don't understand. I do not understand how, if you're 1.5 times over the limit and you get a year in jail, and Cody might be a very decent person who made a horrifying mistake, because the mistake is indefensible. There's no accounting for it at all. The decision caused an individual to die and another with critical injuries. And who knows how many others could have been injured. So you're saying if I, after work, instead of grabbing Q and running various errands, whatever we have to do, I go downstairs and I drink excessively, and then I drive and I hit someone and I kill them, I should get 1 year in jail? That's it? That seems woefully low to me. Am I just playing to the crowd here, or are you with me?
What should the sentence be if you just get pulled over and you're a 0.131? Well, why should it be any different is my question.
Yeah. The potential was already there.
Yes. It's you got lucky because you didn't hit somebody, or you got unlucky because this time you did. And in this case, obviously cost life.
In my view of justice, and I get you have to follow the law. Okay, you just can't go from judge to judge and arbitrarily throw a dart. For me, this has got to be at least 5 years. You killed a person. Not intentionally. I'm not saying this.
Yeah, it's not murder.
It's not murder. But you are so derelict in this responsibility and not in control of your faculties that individuals are on a sidewalk. And you kill one and severely injure another, and you get 364 days. What's wrong here? We've made immense progress. Mothers against drunk driving. Stronger punishments at local level, state level, federal level. And we are immensely better in this area. And there have been people who've gotten away with stuff they shouldn't have. Have I been perfect every single time in my life? I probably have not. But I don't understand why. I mean, we see cases where individuals are arrested time after time after time.
Yeah.
And they still have their license.
That's indefensible.
Now, you kill someone. Doesn't matter the age, who cares? They're gone. And you get a year? What do you think? What do you want to say about this? Am I going too far? Is a year enough the way you view it? Because I don't think so. And I think I emphasize way more of my looking at stories here in the state. But I see other examples across the country. And it leaves me confused why the punishment it's not stronger. Why legislators haven't stepped in to make the laws stronger, harsher, more punitive in cases like this. What do you want to say? You want to call and react? You want to send a text? What would you like to do? 651-461-9226. Dave, remind folks the bumper theme today and the best way to track down a podcast of this show.
Yeah, the bumper theme is the Barack Obama summer playlist that came out yesterday, about 20 or 30 songs from old times and new stuff that he's been enjoying apparently this summer. If you want to podcast us, I'd recommend you check out the Odyssey app. You just go to WCCORadio.com. That'll work. How about Spotify? You'll find us there. Apple Podcasts, you bet. Chad Hartman Show.
Also on the Twitter machine, at Dave_Harrigan and at Chad Hartman Show. Back to this DUI case, another part I want to mention. A DUI case where an individual was killed and another person severely injured. The conviction carries a presumptive 4-year prison sentence. The judge cited the individual's amenability for probation, his remorse, and his continued sobriety. Again, I think it should matter. I get, Dave. It should matter how the individual, in this case, Cody Jasduski, I hope I'm getting that right, does react. But going from 4 years to 1 year seems too much of a leap to me. And again, I'm not saying a judge, she or he, is allowed to look at the law and tear it up and say, I'm not paying attention to it. Too bad. I'm the sheriff. I don't care what the law say. No, you have to follow the law. But it just seems like the law, to me, should be much stronger in this case. What about the explanation from the judge why it was reduced?
Yeah, I get all that, and I'm trying to put myself in the feet of the family of the person that he hit and killed, and what I would want. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. 1 year, yeah, seems a little light. 4. Does that make me feel better? I don't think it does. I think I'd, just as a citizen, I guess I'd feel much better if it was, let's say 2 years, a little bit of teeth, but then a really severe punishment once you're out. A probationary period, we're talking you can't drive for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're spotted driving behind the wheel, drunk or sober, you're back in the slammer for a while.
I think we always have to watch, though, if we judge what the victim wants, or if the victim was killed, as in this case, the victim's family wants. I don't in any way ever want to discount the person who was aggrieved, who was killed, or their family. But we're all going to react to that all over the place.
Yes.
So that's why we have to stay true to the law. And at times you're happy with the law. Other times you feel like an adjustment should be made. And I'm willing, in this case, to make an adjustment. But from 4 down to 1 and the other part, just it's too low to me. And I just see it too much. Linda's construction time check. It's time for us to stop talking this hour. It's time for you to invest in GAF solar roofing and receive free installation labor. Dave, remind folks the bumper theme today and the best way to track down a podcast of this show.
Yeah, the bumper theme is the Barack Obama summer playlist that came out yesterday, about 20 or 30 songs from old times and new stuff that he's been enjoying apparently this summer. If you want to podcast us, I'd recommend you check out the Odyssey app. You just go to WCCORadio.com. That'll work. How about Spotify? You'll find us there. Apple Podcasts, you bet. Chad Hartman Show.
Also on the Twitter machine, at Dave_Harrigan and at Chad Hartman Show. Back to this DUI case, another part I want to mention a DUI case where an individual was killed and another person severely injured. The conviction carries a presumptive 4-year prison sentence. The judge cited the individual's amenability for probation, his remorse, and his continued sobriety. Again, I think it should matter. I get, Dave. It should matter how the individual, in this case, Cody Jasduski, I hope I'm getting that right, does react. But going from 4 years to 1 year seems too much of a leap to me. And again, I'm not saying a judge, she or he, is allowed to look at the law and tear it up and say, I'm not paying attention to it. Too bad. I'm the sheriff. I don't care what the law say. No, you have to follow the law. But it just seems like the law, to me, should be much stronger in this case. What about the explanation from the judge why it was reduced?
Yeah, I get all that. And I'm trying to put myself in the feet of the family of the person that he hit and killed and what I would want. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. 1 year, yeah, seems a little light. 4, does that make me feel better? I don't think it does. I think I'd, just as a citizen, I guess I'd feel much better if it was, let's say 2 years, a little bit of teeth, but then a really severe punishment once you're out. A probationary period, we're talking you can't drive for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're spotted driving behind the wheel, drunk or sober, you're back in the slammer for a while.
I think we always have to watch, though, if we judge what the victim wants or if the victim was killed, as in this case, the victim's family wants. I don't in any way ever want to discount the person who was aggrieved, who was killed, or their family. But we're all going to react to that all over the place.
Yes.
So that's why we have to stay true to the law. And at times you're happy with the law. Other times you feel like an adjustment should be made. And I'm willing, in this case, to make an adjustment. But from 4 down to 1 and the other part, just it's too low to me. And I just see it too much. Linda's construction time check. It's time for us to stop talking this hour. It's time for you to invest in GAF solar roofing and receive free installation labor.